It's a test of the emergency broadcast system. And by the time they're done, you've missed most of what you wanted to hear. Tests. We face tests many times in our lives. It's not going to be very long when our high school seniors are going to be taking their ACT and SAT tests. Hopefully, their scores will be high enough that they can get into the colleges of their choice. But we have a lot of professional people who also have to take tests. Lawyers, doctors, nurses. Most of them have to pass some kind of test in order to work in their chosen field. Growing up in my time in school, I was not a very good test taker. Wasn't that I was a lousy taker, I never prepared. I kind of thought I could get by on what I knew already without having to dig a little deeper and take up a little of my free time. I never prepared much for tests. So I got typically the grades that I deserved. When we become Christians, we turn ourselves over to the care and the will of God, though. And we had hoped when we reached out to salvation that the testing would be over. But the truth of the matter is that the testing of our faith is never completed while we live on this earth. And the question that arises is not, will we face tests? But the question is, will we pass the test of faith? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter wanted to communicate with the Christians of his day, those who were scattered abroad and around the world, the reason as to why they were scattered. And as he opens his letter up, he writes there that we as Christians have a glorious inheritance, an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled and unfading. And so Peter is telling us here that there is a great future for us. But just because we are looking forward to a great future, it does not take away from the problems of life. So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 6 through 8, he gives us these words. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, and if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy in that inexpressible and filled glory. Our faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is more important than earthly wealth. But just like gold, just like silver, just like any precious metal, our faith is going to be put to the test. It is going to go through fire, so to speak, just to see if it is genuine. One of my favorite verses when it talks about this subject is James chapter 1. In verses 2 through 4, James writes here, "Count it all joy, my brethren, that when you meet trials of various times, For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It is a spiritual maturing process. How many of us have ever said to God, I don't want to mature? I just want to stay a babe in Christ. I don't think we've ever said that to God, have we? Growing in our faith necessitates the challenges of our faith. The more that we dig into God's Word, the more we see that our faith must grow in order for us to be God's design and not our own. The question isn't, will we face tests, but will we pass the test of our faith? And there is an account in the Bible that helps us to see the depth of testing and passing. And that is of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. All of us can agree of the great faith of Abraham. He's one of the ones in the great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. He was one of the faithful to God. A man whose faith was put on display. And God had told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. The birth of Isaac became a great joy for Sarah. And Abraham had his finally son of promise that God had told him he would have. Both of these parents loved this boy to no end. But their joy of parenthood came at an old age, Sarah being 90, Abraham being 100 years old. Genesis 22 and verse 1. It starts by saying, after these things, God tested Abraham. The King James says, tempted. Other translations use the word tested. Now, there is a difference between being tested and being tempted. And there is no doubt that Abraham in this test could have failed this test. Some have even said that God was tempting Abraham. But you see, God does not set us up to fail. God did not set Abraham up to fail. God was setting Abraham up to test the depth of Abraham's faith. You know, there comes a time in everyone's lives where we must choose between our faith in God and His promises and what we desire in our own heart. Testing is done to help us to grow and mature and to become more than what we have been. Tempting seeks to destroy and kill and make us worse than what we were. God wasn't tempting Abraham to sin. God was testing Abraham's faith. It was a faith that Abraham claims that he had. So God was going to test that faith. God calls to Abraham. Abraham simply hears the voice of God, and the words that he heard must have cut him to the quick. In verse 2 of Genesis 22, it says, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get you thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. if these words were told to you, what would you do? Because there's no getting around this for Abraham. Abraham was now facing probably the most difficult task of his life. I don't believe any parent could read this and truly understand what Abraham was going through. But this is a test of proclaimed faith. The Bible tells us there that early the next morning, Abraham got up. He saddled his donkeys. He got his two servants and some wood and Isaac, and they left. On the third day, he got to the place in Moriah which God had told him. Isaac carried the wood. Abraham carried the fire. And he also took the knife. And as the two of them went, Isaac asked his father the question I'm sure that Abraham was expecting but was dreading. He knew what was coming. Father, we have the fire. We have the wood. Where is the lamb? Your son asked you that, or your daughter, what would you say? Abraham's response was very simple. God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Is that our statement of our faith when we are tested and when we are expecting to cry out and say, why? God, why are you doing this to me? Why, God, are you letting this happen to me? Why? I think we fool ourselves if we say we've never said that. That we've never had a doubt that God was always there. We always knew he was there, and we figured God out. I think more often than not, when we face the trials, when we face the tests, we don't pack up the mule and the wood and the servants and our children and go. We stop and question, or we try to run and hide. When the question of why comes up, I want to be able to give you, to give us, three things that can help us when those tests come about. Because it doesn't do a whole lot of good to read your Bible if you can't apply it. It cannot do us any good if I'm standing up here and telling you things and I can't tell you how to overcome things. I can't tell you. I'll let you know I can't tell you and I don't know how. But in this case, I think I can give us three different things that can help us when we are tested. The first is to expect tests. They're coming. Our faith is only as strong as the temptation it can withstand. To the churches in the Revelation, Jesus said and told them to expect trials. Expect the tests. When we expect them, we are that much more ahead of the game. We are that much closer to passing those tests. How many of you have high school teachers when you were in high school that told you at the beginning of the year, there will never, ever be a test in this class? How many times did you get to school and they said, okay, I want you to put all your books away, get out a clean sheet of paper and a pencil. This is a test. expect them, and we're a step ahead. Expect to pass. By that I mean to be prepared to follow through no matter what the cost. We have to make some decisions as to whether we will follow through or whether we will seek to find a way out. Sometimes it means that we are going to have to put the knife into a relationship that pulls us away from God. We might have to offer up as a sacrifice that sinful desire that we love. Get rid of it. God, take it away. We need to pass the test, and sometimes by passing the test, it's going to hurt. But God must be our greatest desire and our first choice. And third, we must expect help. God may allow the test. God may even cause the test. But He is not going to ask anything of us, excuse me, that He will not give us the strength to do. He will not do that. You look at the trials that Abraham went through. Lot, Hagar, his own difficulties, his own deceits and lies that he created. Everything that he went through strengthened him to this ultimate test. When the tests come upon us, when the trials are there, we need to focus on the promise and not the problem. See, we know what's coming. But when the tests and trials come, we focus on what's right there instead of forgetting what's ahead. Stay focused on the promise, and it will get us through the tests. As long as Abraham believed the promise that God gave him, he could do whatever God asked of him. He could. Why would God Almighty promise him a son, an inheritance, a seed that would fill the seashores of sand and then take him away? We have a promise too. We find the promise in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. That Paul writes, God is faithful, but he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide for you a way so that you can stand up under it. We use that text a lot. But how many of us believe it? How many of us believe it? There are tests in our lives where we feel that our back is going to be broken. We're going to feel like that old prospector's mule going up the side of the mountain, and that guy, old guy, is throwing more rocks and more rocks on my back, and that's going to break. God will never do that. He might throw a rock or two on there, but he knows what you're more than capable of withstanding. But if you decide to go on your own, you're going to fail the test. You're going to lose the promise. Life on earth I don't know how life on earth can sometimes stink and smell like roses at the same time. But it does. And we're not going to get out of this world alive, at least in the physical sense. But we will, if we maintain the faith as Abraham had and pass the tests, we will get out of this world and live forever. If there is anyone here this evening who desires to obey that gospel call, you can ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And the Bible gives us the answers. John 4 tells us to hear the word, that we must hear it. Romans 10, 17, that faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Repentance is a necessity. We need to turn away from the life that we are living. Confess Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then we must strive to live that good and faithful life until the day we die. If that is your desire this evening, we want to give you that opportunity. And if you are a child of God and you are facing the test in life and it's becoming unbearable, but you want help and you want prayers, expect help. The prayers are there. We know that there are many who struggle health and other things. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand.